What we really need is immediate direction. Right? I mean, besides, you know, there's two points to this. There's the immediate direction that the body of Christ needs in general, and then there's the personal direction that each one of us needs to finding our place in that. And, you know, and that personal direction can be anywhere to anywhere from what it is that we're called to do specifically and where it is we're called to go as far as a geographical location, what God requires of us to do immediately, personally. How many of you can see those two points? For the body of Christ and our personal direction. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. I mean, really give it your attention. How many of those two things do you have down in your spirit? Are you sure what God wants for the body of Christ right now? What does God want of the body of Christ right now? Are you sure? And two, are you sure personally of your place in that? Are you sure that you're where God wants you to be? Are you sure that you're doing what God wants you to do? Where are you at in those two things? Now, this is a point of introspection that is going to be, you're going to find, is probably the most valuable subject that you can focus on right now. Are you where God wants you to be? And what is the directions for the body of Christ right now in this time? How many of you are unsure of both of those things? And how many of you are sure of one of those things but not the other? Is there anybody in here that's sure of both of those things? Let's talk about what God's message of the hour is to the church for a moment. Because in knowing that, what God generally wants for the body, then you're going to find that scale down is going to be the same for you as an individual. How many of you can see that? If you know the general direction for the body of Christ in this hour, then that's going to help you determine personally in your relationship with God where you should be. Does that make sense to you? Because you are, first and foremost, a part of the body. And you can see, can't you, where it is that you are contributing to God's will for the body, personally. Right? Now, the whole purpose of this is for us to get on track with God, for us to submit ourselves to God, for us to find out what His will is. If you don't know what His will is for your life, you know what? A lot of it's going to have to do with you're not really sure what His will is for the body of Christ. Now, I want to point out something that, before I go into Scripture here, that everybody, I'm sure, can see. Right now, Christianity, as far as what we know as the church, is fractured and divided. And there is a multitude of people with a multitude of directions. I mean, you can go down the list. You can take every popular preacher there is, and he's got a different direction for you, doesn't he? On what it is you should be focusing on. What does this tell you? Well, let's decide if this is true or not. From your own observations, from what you see going on around you, from the life you're in, is the direction that's coming out of the pulpits of so many churches fractured? Is it? Let me read Colossians 1:9 that Sheila put up there. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, right there in Colossians 1:9, you can see the two things that I've said and how they relate, can't you? Paul says, we are praying for you that you're filled with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's for the body of Christ, isn't it? For all of us in general. And we pray this in order that you, as the individual, may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. That's your personal direction. So what are you learning here? You can't really know your personal direction if you don't know the general direction for the church. You cannot go know God's will individually for your life if you don't know God's will for the church. Is this true or not true? How many of you can discern that just from that verse? How will you ever know what God wants for you personally if you don't know what He wants for the church? God's will. In fact, that verse is exactly what I told you, isn't it? We need to understand these two things, and this is where we're at. We're at that precipice. We're at that precipice where we have to submit ourselves to God so that we can know. If you're unsure about the will, God's will for your life, where you're headed, a lot of it has to do with you were unclear or uncommitted. Now, this is another point. Some of you may be clear as to what God's direction is for the church, but you're as that yet uncommitted. Is that a possibility? How many of you can see that as a possibility? You might know God's will for the church, but you are as yet undecided, uncommitted. Well, I want to read to you about God's will for the church, okay? And it's something you're all familiar with, something that we've all dealt with, right here in this room. We've talked about it. Now, from Colossians 1:9 as a springboard, remember what the point is. I want to read that again. That's a very good verse, by the way, children. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Remember that phrase, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. And please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That's growing in the knowledge of His will too, isn't it? All right. Now pick up on that phrase here in chapter 4 of Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, Paul says, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. How are you going to live a life worthy? What's that first point? Knowing His will. Right? Knowing His will for the church and for yourself. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You have a calling. You have a purpose. You have a place in the body of Christ. Be completely humble and gentle is the first little command here. Be completely humble and gentle. What does this tell you? Submit yourself to God. Humble is to lower yourself in your own estimation to pick up God's idea for you. Because in order to walk according to the knowledge of His will, and in order to walk according to that personal direction for your life and your calling, you must have humbled yourself before the Lord to take on His thinking instead of your own. Right? So humility is the key. Submission to God is the key to knowing His will. True or not true? Let me read this again. As a prisoner of the Lord, one who is humble, by the way, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Now, Paul is saying, I'm saying this as a prisoner of the Lord. In other words, I'm not here because men got me locked up. I'm here because this is God's will. Isn't that what he's saying? Yeah, I'm a prisoner. I'm locked up. Rome's got me. Okay, I got chains on, the whole bit. I'm a prisoner. But whose prisoner am I? And what am I telling you this as? As a prisoner of Rome or as a prisoner of the Lord? I'm here because it's the Lord's will that I'm here. Paul is telling you, I not only as an apostle know the will of God for the church, but I know the God's will for myself, where I belong. I know it's God's will that I am where I'm at. I'm in God's will. So as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Wow. I'm living according to the calling I've received. Now I call upon you to do the same. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, what is first and foremost in God's will for the church? According to Paul, somebody tell me, what is God's will first and foremost for the church? Unity! Very good. See, that wasn't hard, was it? You all found it just by yourselves. That's God's will for the church. That's what's highest on God's agenda for you. That's what's on God's will in this time when people are fractured and divided and turned against each other and all this carnal thinking and all these doctrines of demons. What's on God's heart first and foremost for the church is unity through humbling ourselves to God. Submission. Now look what as he goes on to impress upon you God's will for the church. There is one body and one Spirit. There's only one church. There's only one Holy Ghost. Just as you were called, remember, this goes back, lead a life worthy of the calling you received, just as you were called one Lord. What is the calling you received based on? It's based on unity. Not you're individually calling separate from everybody. Unity. Isn't Paul saying this in essence? Alright, God's will. I call upon you as one that's in God's will. I know God's will for the church is unity, and I'm a prisoner for Christ. That's His will for the church, and that's His personal will for me. I urge you to live a life worthy of that calling. So, you're supposed to be a prisoner with Paul, aren't you? Of the Lord. And you don't have to be in a Roman jail to be that. You're supposed to be a prisoner in God's will. You're called to be a prisoner of the Lord. Is this true or not true? You're called to be captured and locked up in God's will. Is that heavy or not? It's pretty heavy, isn't it? And so the focus of this is unity. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. What is our one hope? The resurrection. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. See what Paul's impressing upon you? God is over all of us. Right? He's our head. He's through all of us. And He's in all of us. So unity is His will for the church. Right? When I said Roman jail edify, what I was saying is Paul's not calling us to be locked up in a Roman jail in order to be prisoners of the Lord. Paul's not asking us to be locked up with Him physically. He's talking about us to be captured in God's will together with Him. But to each one of us, now here's where we get to individuals. Grace has been given by as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given to each one of us as Christ apportioned it. Now here's where it gets down to your individual giftings that make you a part of the body. And this is where we get to God's individual will for you that make you a part of the body. Right? To each one of us, grace has been apportioned. Each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Whatever gift you have, it's what God gave you. It's what Jesus gave you, the portion He wanted you to have. Right? Now, is that to benefit yourself or to benefit the unity of the faith? Y'all tell me. Is that to benefit yourself or to benefit the unity of the faith? It's to benefit the unity. Remember what He says? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So each one of us has received grace as Christ apportioned it. And that purpose of that gift is not so you can go around and say, well, look, I'm special in God, I have a gift. It's so you can lay your life down on behalf of the body as Christ has done, as Paul is doing. True or not true? Now, doesn't this come alive with meaning all of a sudden? Doesn't this come alive with meaning that this is the call? And it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. He gave to Jesus' ascension. He passed on that spirit of His nature to all of us, right? And it's manifested in the gifts He's give us that respond to the unity of the faith. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was He who gave some of us to be apostles. Those are the gifts He gave. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Christ has given each one of us grace as He apportioned it. Some are called to be apostles, some to be prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and so forth. Right? Everyone who's given a gift is called to lay down their life on behalf of the body. Now, you notice that all of these gifts are designed for the unity of the faith. And I want you to see something. Let's take the body, and let's take you as an individual. Remember before, we've talked about we weren't given gifts of the Spirit so we could say we're super spiritual. Anyone who has a gift of the Spirit wasn't given to him because he was super spiritual and better or more holy than someone else. People don't get to be apostles and prophets because they're more better or more holy or something than anybody else. These gifts are given as Christ apportioned them. Now, the body was given these gifts as one. For the benefit of the whole body. Right? These gifts weren't given to just benefit an individual. They were given for the body of Christ. So the body, as an individual, was given gifts. Right? To maintain its unity. To maintain its connection to the head. Right? For instruction and so forth. Just like you as an individual are given gifts of the Spirit. Now, you weren't given those gifts because you were super spiritual. If you were given tongues, or if you were given prophecy, or if you were given another gift, you weren't given that gift so you could say, I'm super spiritual. You were given that gift to lay down your life on behalf of the body, weren't you? So you as an individual are given gifts, and the church as an individual is given gifts. The church has one, in other words, one body. And these gifts that the body has received is apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Right? Now, the purpose of these gifts, it says very clearly. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's your individual calling, right? That we started with. Your individual calling, your works of service as an individual. So that the body, the corporate body of Christ, may be built up until we all reach what? Unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the goal is unity of the faith. That's what we started out with, isn't it? So in order for you to be a part of this one body, you have to know God's will first for the body and then for yourself. You have to know God's direction for the body. God's direction for the body is unity. God's direction for you personally, your calling, is where you enhance that unity. And that's by putting others before yourself, huh? That's by putting God first and others before yourself. True or not true? That's by you humbling yourself in submission to take on His thinking instead of your own. So that you can be, so you can know God's will for the body first and for yourself next. How many of you know, according to the scripture here, and this is really important, and it's at the bottom of what we're talking about here, like in 1 Corinthians 12, it tells you, you have a gift. Everybody in here, if you have the Holy Ghost, to all who received Him, believed in His name, gave He them the power to become the children of God, that means you have the Holy Spirit in you, right? So if you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you have been baptized into this body by that one Spirit. True or not true? Nobody voted you in. Nobody wrote your name on a church roll and said, well, now you're a Christian. You became a Christian when you received the Holy Ghost, the seal of your faith. Right? The power to become a child of God. The seal that God will keep His promise to you if you continue in that faith. Alright, well, we need to go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read you something. If you have the Holy Ghost, then you have a gift. You know what the next question is going to be, don't you? Listen to this. Now to each one, verse 7, chapter 12, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Whoa. Was the gift given for you, or was it given for the body? To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit was given for the common good, for the body. Not so you could run around with a title behind your name, or you could say, look, I'm super spiritual, I have a gift. You were given a gift for the body, for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another interpretation of tongues. All these work are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Remember, just as Christ, grace is given to each one as Christ apportioned it. He ascended and gave gifts to men. Right? He gave you gifts through the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everybody understand that? So if you have the Holy Ghost, what do you have? If you have the Holy Ghost, what do you have? You have a gift for the common good, don't you? Now, how many in here, and be honest with yourself, you don't even have to tell me, how many in here know what your gift is? How many in here know what your gift is? There's no way that you can know what your purpose is in Christ, where this body's unity is concerned, which is our goal, if you don't know what your gift is. Because it's, how many have heard that gift is what makes your place in the body? Because we all have a purpose in the body. All bodily parts have functions, don't they? I don't care if you're a liver, a pancreas, a toe, or a pinky finger. You know, you're all have purpose, right? The body is not made up of one part, but of many, right? Now you are the body of Christ. Listen to this. Verse 27. And each one of you is a part of it. And in the church of God, in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. In this body, the church, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Well, of course not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Of course not. Because everybody has a different gift, don't you? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No, of course not. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. How? So you can be a part, so you can benefit the body. Now, can you see the point here? Can you see the point? A gift you were given. And you may yet to have stirred it up. And I'm going to tell you what stirs it up. Your reverent submission to God. If it is your goal to please God and walk according to His will, then you are going to have at your heart what's important to Him, not you. And what is important to, we've just seen it. What is important to God concerning the body? Say it again. Somebody tell me. What is important to God, first and foremost, for the body? Unity. So if you ain't a part of, if you ain't a part of God's will for that, then you're opposing God, aren't you? If unity is on your heart because that's what's on God's heart, then you will humble yourself not only before God, not only before the Word, but also before your brothers and sisters to serve them. You see a key there? The key to stirring up your gift is submission. And it's not just to God, but it's to others. Because in serving them, you see the figure of how you're supposed to serve God. Can you see what I'm saying? When you physically serve somebody else, then you begin to see the figure of God's calling for you, how you serve Him. Because God manifests His spiritual truth through the physical. You want to see the truth of the body of Christ the way God sees them? Then treat others better than yourself. You want to find your gift? Serve. Be a servant. Make the goal of your heart to be God's goal, the unity of the faith. And the only way that you can be unified with others is to humble yourself to serve them. And if they see that example, what example are they going to take that a Christian is? And that's why we must come together. That's why we must come together and humble ourselves before God together. We talk about the purity of the gospel. The essence of the purity of the gospel is loving one another as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He laid down His life for us. How did He operate His gifts? Unselfishly. Can you see that in serving others is how the gifts that you have are going to be manifested? Can you see that? The key to our unity. The key to God's blessing upon us. The key to God drawing us together in power is loving one another as Christ loved us. And this is how our love to God is manifested. This is how the power of God is manifested through us. It said it all right here in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, didn't it? It says it all throughout the Scripture. I know that this is how I put my gift to work, in sharing it with others and using it for others. I know that's how God's will became plain to me, what it is for the body and what it is for me. I know what it means to be a prisoner of the Lord, and I don't have to be locked up in a jail to be that. To be a prisoner of the Lord is to be a prisoner of love. And this is your reasonable service. And you were empowered to do that by the Holy Ghost. So, can you see the key to finding God's will for your individual life? First, it's God's will for the body. Right? That you glean from the Scriptures. And the method for that will is finding your place in the body. And the method for finding your place in the body is submitting yourself to God through submitting yourself to brothers and sisters in love to serve. Very simple, isn't it? And it all falls into place in that way. Amen? It's a good place to stop.